Hello and welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. It is I, Ryan. I have returned. I survived. I was away last week on my honeymoon, and I did not relax myself to death. A lot of people were worried. Jocelyn is not here this evening, but you know she may make an appearance later on in the evening as a mysterious audio appearance. I don't know. She's fine. She's just wrapping some things in. She'll up. Sorry. Let's start again. Hi. No, I'm just joking. Tonight I have I keep calling him Octane. It even says in the notes his name's Octane. But I did ask his real name. He has one. His name is Patrick. Hello, Patrick. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me tonight. Should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we're going to talk about games. We're probably going to talk about Smite. We're probably going to try to talk about other games, but. You know, people who probably follow you on Twitter know that you like Smite, but we all know that you play other video games too. There's more to
that is right,
Patrick, that is right. Than Smite. But before we get into that, I do need to ask. Like, this is your first time at the Inn, so a lot of people are probably wondering, like, oh, who's this guy? New blood? I don't know. So why don't you let everybody know who Sir Octane is what we'll call you.
Sure, no problem. So I started out in the StarCraft II scene, hence my information, as you guys can see directly below my portrait there, with the Octane Pro SCII. And then as the StarCraft II scene kind of dwindled out a little bit, I moved on to DayZ. And when I was in StarCraft II, I was very much involved in podcasting and shows and stuff like that. Anyway, so moved on to DayZ a little bit, just played a little bit. And then I found this game called Smite. And so let's jump ahead, you know, 2 years after I was in Smite Alpha, and now I am a, I guess you call it a community content provider within Smite. I host two podcasts on Hi-Rez Studios' Twitch channel. Mm-hmm. I have my own YouTube channel and my own Twitch channel as well. I am the team manager for one of the top European Smite competitive teams, Mortality Esports.
Wow.
And yeah, so that's kind of me in a nutshell.
That's great. I mean, I'm learning things. I didn't know you managed a team out of Europe. That's pretty crazy.
Correct. Yeah, I don't do the day-to-day business stuff. That is actually, you know, it's a larger organization. They're in Smash. They're in fighting games, Call of Duty, and now they're in Smite as well as of, I think, about 7 or 8 weeks back. So, just with my context in the scene, that's kind of one of my day-to-day responsibilities, is managing them.
Neat. Well, that's interesting. We might have to touch in on that, once we get through the, you know, the boring, what games are we playing? People don't come to the show to listen to us talk about what games we're playing. We do that for ourselves. We have to get it all off our chest, right? It's like, Gamers Anonymous, GA, I don't know. Well, anyways. So we talked a little bit last night when we were playing Smite. So again, like, well, people are probably realizing, like, ugh, they're going to talk about Smite all episode. Well, guess what? We probably are. But let's start with non-Smite game.
Hence why behind us, behind me, all the posters of Smite, so.
I don't have any Smite posters, but, you know, I'm into Smite. I'm digging it. I was, you know, as we've stated on the show before, like, I was a little weary about it, and, I came around. Obviously, we poked fun at some of the way the heroes look, but
sure.
You know, it's funny. Obviously, we're referencing like Neith and probably just two heroes, really. Neith and although Nuaz kind of come around on that front, but but really, like, all the other heroes look fantastic. And having watched the game theorist video, it's not too crazy far away from the actual depictions of the gods, so we don't need to get into that again. That was a fun episode though. what have you been playing minus the Smite these days?
Sure. So, you know, I play a lot of Smite. Most of my time is spent playing Smite or watching Smite, whatever. But you know, from time to time I like to take a break from Smite. You know, I deal with it all day during the day with managing a team, and then at night streaming it or watching it. So for me, more recently, a few weeks back, I downloaded Arma 3, and more particularly. I didn't even touch the Armor 3 game. I actually started to play the Battle Royale mod, which is a ton of fun. And outside of that, more recently, Arc Age, which is the free MMO that came out a few weeks back. So I've been dabbling into a little bit of each of those MMOs I haven't touched since WoW, and that was quite a few years ago. So yeah, it's been fun so far.
Yeah, you're probably like, whew, Jocelyn's not on the show, because she will get you to play WoW. She's been, you know, she's not here right now, and she might be listening live, and then she's probably going to kick me later for saying this, but she's been trying to get me to play WoW for a very long time.
Don't do it.
It's funny. I think the first time I reinstalled, you may have actually tweeted me and told me not to do it. Although, I think every time I reinstall, it's such a moment that, like, I'll actually install it from... I used to install it from the discs. I don't anymore.
Okay.
But I'd, like, take a picture of, like, the 16 discs scrawled across my desk, and I'm like, let's do this, and most of the comments are like, what are you doing? Don't do it. It's like, if you start taking days off work, we'll never see you again.
Well, see, like I can't down-talk WoW too much. Like, I played WoW at the very end of Vanilla WoW. Sure. Then I played Burning Crusade, raided through Burning Crusade. And then I have to look up, because I have, like, I'm very much a materialistic person, so yeah. I have all of the boxes up on a shelf here. So I played Wrath of the Lich King, and towards the middle or end of Wrath of the Lich King for me, I got more into PvP, and I was like, I just don't have time to raid, but I love PvP. So I started to play a lot of PvP, and then Cataclysm came out, and I played Cataclysm, but I only played it like a level through it, and then I was like, okay, I'm done with WoW. And I didn't touch any endgame. I cut myself off, and I haven't touched it since, to be honest.
Yeah. The chat room is kind of commenting on WoW being their home. Like, we'll always be home. I kind of see it that way, too. Like, WoW, to me, is my MMO, but not my home, but, like, my parents' home. Like, I'll always have, a special place in my heart, but I don't want to stay there too long. Like, I did that for 20 years. I don't want to go back for too long. Like, I'll visit.
It's your bread and butter.
Yeah, like, I might, like, go back and have, like, a turkey dinner with them or, you know, like, and that's probably what I will do. Yeah, and now people are in the chat room. I'm playing WoW right now. Like, we're not dissing on WoW. And I am going to play WoW. The Warlords of Draenor expansion is actually got, like, the lore has its hooks into me, because it's going back to the old school Warcraft lore, which is what I was really interested in, the RTS stuff and the books and whatnot. But, yeah, funny enough, it's hilarious. We're actually talking about WoW when we said, like, no, we've talked about WoW. Nope. Last week was the Blizzard episode. But let's talk about Archeage, because we haven't talked about that on the show. And I played maybe all of 5 minutes of it, and it didn't...
Wow, okay.
Like, it didn't quite grab me. I played a little bit of the beta. I'm interested to see, because I'm sure, like, obviously you're thinking, like, Ryan, you played 5 minutes. You did not play Archeage. You maybe half-assed a character, went through a couple quests, and then went and played, like, I don't know, Link or something. No, Archeage, sell it for me. It's free to play, so that's check mark number one.
Yeah, that was my big one. Okay, so after WoW, I dabbled a little bit into Star Wars: The Old Republic, and I think everybody had, like, high hopes of that, and then just kind of... And I played the beta, and I played the crap out of that game in beta, so did me and a bunch of friends, and then, like, I bought the Collector's Edition.
Right.
And played 2 weeks of it, and then I was like, nope, I'm not interested anymore, uninstalled, and it's sitting on a shelf over here.
But you got a sweet Jedi out of it.
I do. He's actually sitting off to the side over here.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm going to show you. Hang on.
Yeah, go get it. It's funny. Star Wars, I picked that up as well, and I did the same thing. Played for a couple weeks.
Here he is right here. There you go.
Oh, see?
There's your sweet Jedi.
Totally worth it.
Yeah, I mean, for the $150, of course that was worth it.
Octane, that is not a Jedi. That is a Sith Inquisitor Lord. Or whatever.
He's a Sith Lord, I think.
We were going to get emails, so I figured I'd get ahead of them. So
anyways, that was kind of my end of my MMO type of stuff. And then I saw a buddy of mine, Demon Machine, who's well known in the Smite scene. He was streaming Archeage, and I was like, okay. I was like, this looks pretty cool. And I heard him talking about it, and he was like, oh, you could do this, you could do this, you could do this in it. And I was like, that is awesome. You know, and I was like, I want something different to stream. I'm always streaming Smite. You know, what's different I can stream? So I was like, I talked to a buddy of mine, Jordan, and was like, hey, like, what are you doing? I figured it was like Monday night, 9:30. He's like, nothing. I'm like, great. Let's download ArcheAge and let's play it. And we're like, perfect. So I went ahead, installed it, you know, logged into my computer from work, installed it, and came home, loaded it up, and bam, 400 person queue.
Wow.
And then I messaged a friend of mine, the guy Demon Machine, who plays, and he's like, yeah, that's normal. And I'm like, are you kidding me? So I sat on stream for like an hour playing like Clash of Clans on my phone and just kind of hanging out.
Clash of Clans.
Oh my word, it's like the perfect time killer. So it loaded up, and as soon as it loaded up, it asked me for my server, jumped on a server, and then it comes to the character creation screen, and I'm like, all right, I'm sold. Like, right off the back, mm-hmm. I don't remember all of the races, but the first one, I think it begins with an N or something. I do apologize. I played it for like 4 hours, but right away at the character creation screen, like how in depth it is, I was sold on it. I was like, this game is awesome. You know, it's really really cool. Mm-hmm. This is a great like breather game. So
breather, a great breather game, like a sort of like a. You obviously, like you said, you live, breathe, eat Smite. I'm sure like your dishes like have like the Smite January 2015 tournament insignia. I'm not making fun of you. If you do have them, that would be rad. But
don't judge me. Okay?
I'm not judging. I think I'm actually jealous now that I want those plates. My wife and I were like, we're every time we go to eat dinner somewhere, she's like, she sees a plate that the restaurant brings, and she literally today she like lifts the plate up to see what it is, and I'm like, really? You're gonna pour your stir fry all over the table? Eat, then that's see right. What kind of plate it is. So I don't get any say, but if I could have Smite plates, that would be really cool. I forget what I was saying, but a breather game. It's like a palate cleanser, right? Like,
yep.
Get a different type of game in there. So I did get through the character creator screen, and okay. It's very RPG-ish. There's sliders yep. for everything. But what I liked about it too, for me specifically, is that you could dive in and spend hours creating. I'm sure there are like YouTube videos where there's like 4 hour character creation videos, or you could choose from the defaults and kind of like play around with a couple and get a pretty unique looking character. Like, I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I really liked about it. I spent a decent amount of time on it. I mean, I probably spent 10 minutes, to be honest with you, which is more time than I usually spend on a character, going through it, kind of seeing what the limitations are of it, and how in-depth you can get. So, creating my character, I went with a elf,
mm-hmm.
and I went with Battle Rage, which is kind of like their warrior, per se.
Cool.
So load up into the game, and right off the back, it almost reminded me of, now granted, you know, it reminded me of League of Legends, like the look of it. If any of you guys played League of Legends, kind of their MMO, it very much felt and looked like it. And the controls, you know, took me a second to get used to, very used to the ASDF and the mouse, which this was similar. But then I started questing and playing the game and learning the game and, learning, you know, you had skill points they had to level up and stuff like that. And then fast forward like 4 hours, I'm already like level 10 or 11 or 12 or somewhere in there,
mm-hmm.
and I don't even realize what time it is, and this is like exactly what I remember when playing WoW, like leveling or playing WoW or raiding or doing an instance, and then like hours later you're like, wow, it's midnight already and I've only tapped into the game, and I'm only at level like 10, 11, 12 ish give or take. And there's 50 levels in it. Like, so I felt like I made a decent amount of headway into the game.
Cool.
And so, yeah, I really enjoyed it. I played side by side with a friend of mine. So, like, we were partied the whole time. We both were on the same quest within 30 seconds, give or take. And I posted in chat. You know, I actually recently did a whole... I took my initial first impressions of ArcheAge, mm-hmm. From, like, 1 to, like, 4 hours and broke it into different YouTube segments. So if you guys want to check it out, it's in chat there.
YouTube.com/ and this way, if I do forget to put in the notes, which I won't because I'm awesome at doing notes.
Yeah, right.
YouTube.com/OctanePro SCII. You've actually got a lot of video content on there, like not just Archage, but also your Smite stuff. But yeah, like it is a free to play game, but like sometimes people are not even sold on trying free to play. So like some of these videos, there's a really good way to kind of like get a taste of what your maybe 10 gig download's going to be.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
So you got a little farther than I did. You did more than one quest. It's now, this is a game that was developed for the Korean market, correct? And then they brought it over. Is that
correct?
What it is?
Yes. Correct. And it has a really good feel to it.
Good.
The quests are a lot of fun. The one thing I noticed, like at the very end of my time, mm-hmm. I kind of gave a review of my thoughts on the game, and like the graphics were really cool. The gameplay was really cool. You know, everything seemed fluid, very easy to pick up, simple. But my biggest gripe with it is, and this was my problem with WoW, and this is my problem with MMOs, is that they have a great storyline in them, but mm-hmm. then they have a million quests that are get 10 of these, get 5 of these, kill 20 of these.
Mm-hmm.
And it is rinse, repeat. And Star Wars did a pretty good job of not doing that so much, Star Wars The Old Republic, and mm-hmm. trying to stick to that storyline as much as you could. But there still was a side quest, and that's what bothered me about this. And that's my biggest turnoff to this, is like, I hate getting into a game like this and having to constantly kill 20 of these or kill 10 of these and then return their pellets or whatever they are to you. Like, I don't like it. I'm more story-driven in that aspect. So I think that's my turnoff to Archage right now.
Okay. Yeah, because that's the one thing I kind of noticed. Like, when you start off, it feels like, I think you get off a boat or your hometown was destroyed or something, and mm-hmm. you're walking down the road, and I think one of the quests was like, deliver these chickens down the road. It's like, all right, mm-hmm. fine, deliver the chickens. And then you're having like, it's all text-based. There's no VO, I think, right? There's no VO.
Correct. It's all text-based. So when like you're talking to one of the quest givers per se, that's very much, you know, a WoW term that I use. That could be just an MMO term. It's just the character in front of your face, the art, and then it just has the text, which is, you know, it's not a video or anything like that. And there's no cutscenes. I mean, I'm sorry. Let me jump back. Some of the quests in Archage of your main storyline have cutscenes, but it's not cinematic. It mm-hmm. is, I don't know what it's called, where it's just
engine,
like art,
right?
Yeah, it's just like, it shows like a picture, like art of like so-and-so, okay. And then it shows another picture of the art. So like the one picture could be like one of the elves getting slain, and then and then you hear someone like reading like the story in the background.
Yeah.
And then another picture comes up of like, oh, what happens afterwards, and then another picture. I don't know. There's probably some terminology to that.
Probably.
Somebody in chat might know it. But
They might. But yeah, like I just found the one thing that turned me off was, I think like there was a conversation like, okay, now I need you, now that we have our chickens, I need you to go just a little bit farther down the road and deliver the eggs that the chickens just laid. But one other thing you need to mention is don't talk to the chef about me because I have a crush on him. And then the mm-hmm. other guy goes like, oh, you do have a crush on him. It was like two like night elf chicks or something.
Okay.
It was really weird. And I, you know, most of the time with these games, you should just like click, 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 click. You know, the dialogue really isn't anything that crazy. Like most of the important details are just going to be told to you. But I think that's why I stopped playing. But the combat felt pretty good. Like, are you enjoying the combat of Archage?
Back to what you're saying with like the quest. I listened to the storyline and listened to the quest for about the first 30 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and then after that, I was skipping it.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not interested. Let's keep moving. As for the combat was very, very good. You almost had this very combo feel to it, I felt like. Now, granted, this could be isolated to the Battle Rage class that I played, but mm-hmm. it felt, it synergized very well as you were kind of moving Ooh. Between the different abilities. So I really enjoyed it. After I got like 5 or 6 different abilities that I could use, it was quite enjoyable. And then the one thing that threw me off, which reminded me very much of some traditional MOBAs, was like, once you get to a certain level, you start to get like these skill points.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're talents, I don't know, particular. And then you get to customize your individual, but there's like a huge spread of different things that you can put your talents into.
Mm-hmm.
So like if I went Battle Rage and you went Battle Rage, we could be totally different types of play styles or totally different types of battle rage elves because of the fact of our build. So I built mine more defense driven, where you could have went more attack driven. So it's kind of like from WoW, like you could go more like tanky or more damage based with like a warrior per se.
Cool. Yeah, I think I was playing like a, I usually go for like the ranger, like the, okay, the bow class, and I think I was, yep, playing a ranger. I don't know, I was digging it. I think my problem is that with MMOs, as soon as I start playing, I realize, shit, if people start finding out I'm playing this, I'm not going to be able to play any other games. Because it's like, oh, let's log in, let's play, let's log in, let's play. Like, that's usually my issue with MMOs, which is why, yeah, I try to, like, stick with... I like multiplayer games, don't get me wrong, but it's a lot easier to say, no, I'm not going to play Smite tonight, or I'm not going to play, you know, Diablo tonight, I'm going to go play something else. When it comes to an MMO, people are paying, like, a monthly subscription, and they have an investment, not just with time, but their own money. Mm-hmm. It can become a bit of like a scheduling conflict, which, sure, is probably, sure, why I'm a little like uneasy to get back into WoW right away. It's kind of like, no, let me finish these three things first and then I'll jump back in. But the chat room's mentioning it's kind of, the art style sounds similar to the art style, the cutscenes sounds similar to Guild Wars 2. That's also, mm-hmm, not free to play. You have to buy the base game. But have you played Guild Wars 2?
I haven't played Guild Wars 2. I actually played the original Guild Wars in the expansion. I was just looking up because I was looking for the box art, and I think it's like off to the side over here. I have like so much video game box art.
Yeah, you're just surrounded by two piles. Like, you kind of push them away from the background, like, just make sure these stay so I don't die from like,
that's right,
a collapse.
That's right. Like, if I take my webcam and make a headache for you, I, yeah, have like a shelf over here with like WoW and the original,
that's a great
Diablo
shelf.
So there's WoW up there. Uh-huh. The original Diablo, you have the original Counter-Strike, wow, and then both of the Blizzard, Heart of the Swarm, and also Wings of Liberty StarCraft 2 up there, and then there's some other fun stuff, but that's just one of many shelves. I have another shelf off to the side that I have some more fun stuff on, and yeah, so like I love that type of stuff.
Yeah.
I really do. Anyways, back to Guild Wars. Yes, it's very, mm-hmm, much very similar to that, mm-hmm, in regards to the way they do that type of storyline and telling the story. I guess my question to you is, mm-hmm, will you play it again?
Archage? Maybe. I think Jocelyn would kill me if she found out I was playing Archage and not WoW, because I have promised to go back to WoW. But it's on, okay, Steam now, isn't it, Archage?
No, it, you know what? It could be, but it has its own, like, I think it's called Glyph.
Yeah. Yes.
Excuse me. Yes. So that's what I downloaded it. Like, I went right to their website, and it's through, and it's Glyph. So maybe it is on there as well. What I didn't figure out, though, and maybe chat can tell me because I didn't get to that point, or maybe you know, is it's free to play, but is it a type of game where it's like pay to win at the end, or like where does the company make money off of this? Because I haven't been prompted in any way for like, hey, pay $10 and here's an XP boost or something like that, you know?
From what I've been able to see on Twitter and stuff from people posting about it, it's probably pretty similar to Guild Wars 2 in the sense that there's a cosmetic store. So you can buy like character changes, clothing, outfits, emotes, stuff like that.
Okay.
Things that people will see that let them know, like, oh, this guy is, you know, super, okay, happy about playing this game, and he bought a top hat that, ooh, sparkles in the moonlight. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. But there are,
so
also
it's very
like
much
a subscription,
like microtransactions, then it sounds like, once you get to end game.
Basically, and it's not even end game, like you could wear a top hat through the whole thing, but
okay,
there's also like a subscription model that gives you access to it's called Patron. Like a patron-only store. This,
okay,
is all just information that I've come across from here and there, but most free-to-play MMOs do like the cosmetic store, similar to what Dota 2 is doing,
okay,
and even Smite for that matter. Actually, exactly like Smite, except I don't think you can buy heroes. You just buy cosmetic stuff. So
okay,
not at all exactly like Smite. Almost like Smite.
Hey, just remember, Smite doesn't have heroes or champions.
Oh.
It has gods.
Yes, sorry.
Come on now. Well, let's get it right here.
Yeah,
right?
Let me check my PR sheet. Gods, titans,
that's right.
Assault.
Battleground of the gods.
Yes. And then there's also here commands on how to say please.
That's right.
That's all I got. That's right. As far as I got. You got Archage. You got anything else that you've been toying with these last few days?
Outside of that, really just Arma 3 Battle Royale.
Interesting.
Which has been a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I started playing it after watching, as everyone, popular streamer Lyric. You know, one of probably the most popular Twitch streamers out there, Lyric. I saw him playing it, and sweet. I played a lot of DayZ, the mod. I am not a huge fan of the current DayZ, the standalone version at all. I just don't like the gameplay of it right now. It's just too crappy.
Yeah,
don't get me started on how that company is failing miserably right now.
Oh, don't worry. I paid the $30 to experience what was a slap fight. With yep. a zombie, and that zombie won, and I was, okay, I'm going to let this one stay in the cooker a little longer.
Yes, I'm glad we share those feelings towards DayZ, because I love the mod, I spent the money, I think I even spent like the $50 one or whatever, something absurd, for the standalone version, and then they got like $5.6 million, and then jump ahead 2 years. It still runs like crap, and it still runs like a mod, and then you find out the main guy, Rocket, is leaving. Like the company, and it's like, seriously. So what they do is they double the size of their staff, and it's still progressing way too slow. So I think it's going to fail, or it's going to come out and all the hype's going to be gone because people have played beta for like 3 years.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do. I think I was caught up in the hype of the stories that people were telling, and even like the video content people were putting out. And I do a zombie podcast as well, so it's kind of like. DayZ is like a perfect fit. It's a zombie game, but you're right. It is one of those early access titles where you have to really love the game to get.
Well,
in
here was the biggest issue. Did you play the mod at all or no?
I didn't, but I do own the mod, and it was probably because it was based on Arma 2, like the engine. It probably ran a lot better.
It ran decent. Mm-hmm. So I played DayZ the mod very early on. And we're the point where, like, there was no additional maps or mods. So, like, when you load up Arma 2 and you have DayZ, you can play all different mods now. There's, like, tons. But the main one and the original one that they only really had out at first was the DayZ mod. And it was very difficult. You'd spend hours and hours and hours finding things. And you would group up. People were very common to group up with people because it was so difficult to find things. So, like, I played hours and hours of that. I'll play the crap out of that game after after quitting WoW and grouped up with people. We found some boats. We fixed the boats. We had tents out on islands. We had lots of gear in there. We would journey around. It was perfect. It was the best way to play that.
It was game. Paradise.
It was so much fun. we would schedule like who would be playing when to make sure to guard our base and stuff like that. So anyways, jumping ahead. You know, Arma 2 was great. You know, Arma 2 was a great game. And then they come out with other mods and made it easier to find weapons and all that stuff. And anyways, jumping ahead to standalone and stuff like that. All they had to do was standalone. And now granted, you know, this is me having no developer experience. But all they had to do with standalone was take Arma 2, reproduce it on the new engine of Arma 3, fix the problem where zombies, the pathing on zombies of going through walls, glitching out here and there, dropping into the floor, fix that, which they did eventually, and then reproduce your game and put it out there, which they could have done in a year, and then add expansions or add these additional features. Well, what happened was you could see it on Reddit. You could see it on Rocket's like Twitter. Every once in a while, he'd be like, we're looking at group bases right now. We're going to go ahead and add that into the next expansion. We're looking at adding in fire extinguishers. We're going to add that into the next patch. We're looking at, you know, so they added all these features to try to add to the content when in reality, the basics and the building blocks that made the game fun needed to be fixed and could be published. And then everything else was extra. Okay. And it could have been published forever ago. Like, jump back like a year ago, it could have been published, and it could have done really well. But I think they tried to do too many things at once, and that's why they're at where they're at. So,
have you, couple things, sticking with the zombie stuff.
Yeah, go for it.
Have you played State of Decay? Because that's what I want in my DayZ experience. Like, a polished, fun-to-play game where there's stuff to do, and I don't have to... slap fight with a zombie. I really dug State of Decay for what it was. And DayZ, mind you, I've only played the standalone, so
sure.
It felt like a barren wasteland to me. And I need some element of story content.
Okay.
State of Decay never allowed you to set up camp, make boats work, and find an island and make paradise. But I feel like that's the direction they're heading. I mean, DayZ's just too popular for them not to apply those. And they've basically said that they are making an MMO. But have you played State of Decay?
I haven't played State of Decay. Mm-hmm. You're into zombies. Have you played War Z?
No.
Because I didn't play that.
Okay.
And War Z, I didn't play it. I watched it, plenty of it. War Z was very much, hey, let's take DayZ, let's polish it off and turn it into War Z. Cool. And, War Z was very popular because DayZ was taking forever and then kind of fell off because it didn't have exactly what DayZ had. But,
sure.
I'm a huge fan for the DayZ game. I load up the mod now, but barely anyone's playing the mod anymore because everyone's playing standalone right now. So the mod's starting to fall off quite a bit, which is a shame. I really, really enjoyed it. I'm hoping that it comes, I hope you and I are both wrong. And I hope it comes out and does super, super well, because I like a very good survival game. Believe it or not, I actually played DayZ for a little while with Garrett.
Oh.
Garrett and I were actually at one point going to launch a podcast around DayZ called what is it called?
Oh, don't spoil it. What if it happens?
It was called The Talking Dead.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It would have been called The Talking Dead. We had the graphics done and everything. And we were like, all right, let's wait to see where the mod goes. Garrett was very skeptical about it.
Sure.
He's like, let's wait to see where the mod goes and happens from there. And, he was very much the type of person where, like, a buddy of mine tried DayZ. And he really, he constantly always wants to play it. But every time he loads it up, and he gets some gear, and then he dies, he's super frustrated that he doesn't have that gear again.
Mm-hmm.
And me, I will play for 10 hours and die, and I'm like, oh, I get so mad for like 30 seconds. And then I'm like, all right, let's do it again. Where other people are like, I can't play it again. Like, yeah. I can't spend 10 hours, die, and then have nothing to my name except for a flashlight, a backpack, and a bandage. So...
But isn't The Walking Dead talk show called The Talking Dead?
It is. It is.
So was this before that, or
this was before that? Yes. This was a while ago. Like jump back, like mid DayZ mod, being popular type of deal.
I guess that would have been before The Walking Dead. Walking Dead's only, they're going in their fifth season. Yeah. Okay. That checks. Math checks out.
Yeah.
Speaking of like the DayZ type mod, the survival, like Rust is up there. The newer one that's been out and kind of getting a little bit of traction is The Long Dark. Have you heard of this?
I have not heard of The Long Dark.
What it's interesting because the reason I bring it up is because you might know you're on a Canadian video game podcast.
Okay,
and,
how dare I?
Yeah, well, no, it's fine. You're allowed. We checked your passport. Customs cleared you. You're all good. you didn't even notice. That's how great Canadian customs is. But when you go back to the States,
it's going to be a bitch. What are you talking about? It's all good.
Yeah, it's all the same. The Long Dark is, and I'm interested in trying it. It's in early access now. The reason I'm really interested in it is because they are coming out promising a single player campaign. Right now, it's just a survival game set in a post-apocalyptic world in northern Canada. So there's snow, there's like a chill effect, so you can die of hypothermia. You have to scrounge for food, make fires, fend off wolves. Okay. It's a Canadian version of that Liam Neeson movies where he punches wolves with glass fingers.
Yeah, I remember that one. Yeah. He's like stuck out in like the wilderness and somewhere. Yeah, I remember that one.
So it looks interesting, and there's probably tons of streams out there, so I've been meaning to check it out, and I'm trying to find some time to get it and play it, but mainly just for I like the idea of these survival games, especially if you're on your own. I'm not a big this guy's griefing me by making me sing my national anthem before he kills me. So it's, I think it is a single player game. I'm sure they'll have like a sandbox mode where there's multiplayer, but
yeah, that'd be fun.
The main reason I'm interested is because they're like saying like, yeah, there's going to be like a robust like single player mode where you're, you know, there's a reason you're trying to survive, and I think they could do some interesting things with that.
Okay.
So that one's interesting. But back to the whole point of this conversation, Arma 3.
Yeah,
you're digging it. You're liking
the
shooting.
Yeah, I'm really liking it. So Arma 3, I haven't touched any part of Arma 3 except for this Battle Royale mod. You can download it, you install it into a certain folder, and then you go into Arma 3, and it shows up as like expansions is what they call it.
Cool.
So you load it up, and it was kind of cool. First night I was actually streaming it, I had a decent amount of viewers. I was up somewhere up around 100 viewers on Twitch, and one of the developers for the Arma 3 Battle Royale jumped in my channel. And so it was really cool to have somebody to like bounce off my thoughts on it, also answer questions.
Neat.
Excuse me. So yeah, it was really cool. So I started to play, and it's very much the storyline is, you know, you join in, and you're in like a queue. And so the queue is either like an island that kind of looks like the island from Lost, or you're at this like soccer stadium and that's just your queue. You're waiting for the servers to fill up. I think it's like 42 or 48 people. Mm-hmm. Once the server's full, which because sometimes take a few minutes, sometimes take forever, all of a sudden you're on a plane. And depending, there's like different levels of the servers. Some of the servers have third person, some servers have like GPS, some servers don't. Some servers are first person only at night to make it even harder. But long story short, you're on a plane, like a military cargo plane, and like all of a sudden, you know, you get hit by something and everyone parachutes out. So you see around you like all these people falling, and you can look down and you can see the ground, and if you don't pop your chute, you hit the ground right away. Bam, you're dead. And it'll come up and say, and it happened to me the first time, it'll come up and say, 1 of 48 left. Octane Pro is dead. And then it kicks you from the server and you're done.
Really?
Or
it's one hit kill.
Yeah, you're done. Or you pop your parachute like you're supposed to.
Of course.
And it's like, imagine Hunger Games, but in modern day with military weapons. That's exactly what it is. You hit the ground. Everyone hits the ground running. You like run towards a building and you find like, you know, military helmet, vest, backpack, pistol, attachments for a pistol or like an assault rifle, but guns and stuff are more scarce. So in the first few minutes, you know, it's very scarce, but a lot of the stuff is in the same places. So you could parachute down, and if you can like skydive appropriately, you can get to where you want to be, and then you can go ahead and find a weapon or whatever, or vehicle or whatnot, take it out and kill some people. And as people die, it tells you up on screen. But the cool thing is, which is similar to Hunger Games, and Battle Royale, apparently this all came from a movie. I haven't seen the movie, but I want to see it. Battle Royale apparently was a movie that had very similar to this gameplay, where like this like free-for-all type of style. And after every so many minutes, it's like 5 to 8 minutes, it'll come, or the first, it'll give you like 8 minutes, and then it comes up and it's like, a circle will appear in 5 minutes on your map. You must be inside the circle or you will die. So you have to, using a compass, and you have a map, and you have your coordinates, but you don't have GPS, so you have your coordinates. You have to figure out the direction, like, okay, the circle is northwest, and you have to start to run northwest and get within that circle. And then, so it forces players to be closer together, and this goes on and on. You're talking like an hour later, and then all of a sudden, you are like 1 of 3 people 6 feet away. And like, no, everybody's afraid to move. You're tucked inside a bush. And so it's crazy. So that's pretty much the essence of the game. There's vehicles, there's anything you can think of, night vision, all that fun stuff. So it's pretty cool.
That sounds great. I don't own Arma 3, but I do own Arma 2. I want to quickly address the chat room. Johnny the Crow is saying, Jesus, Ryan, change your calendar. It's October. And I'm like, yes, but if you could see, like, it's Girl Power, it's Princess Peach and Daisy, and they're doing like a little like, got this, let's go, Girl Power. So I'm not gonna change it. I have to change it. It's been a busy couple days.
Yeah, right.
But no, Arma 3, that sounds really cool. I have a buddy who plays the Arma games pretty religiously. He likes those. Right. You know, very thoughtful, complex, multiplayer-based games. Okay. Like another one he plays is like Warband, Mountain Blade.
I have not played that.
Okay. Yeah, that's a complex one. Another one's like there's the medieval one, like Medieval Combat Warfare. I can't think of what it's actually called.
I don't recall it, to be honest.
It might even be Medieval Combat Warfare. I don't know. do it now on stream. I'm not going to do it on stream. Then I have to get off and take off my headphones. But I'm glad you're enjoying Arma 3. Like, the mods for these multiplayer games probably like really increase the lifespan of those things.
But, oh, yeah, like, I don't even know if I'm going to play the regular game of it. I mean, Arma 3 is supposed to be one of the more realistic military games out there, and mm-hmm. I might not even touch the single player of it. And it's not because, like, I don't think it's good. It's just because, like, it's not my play style. Like, I don't really play single player games, and that's a turn off to some people. Some people really enjoy it, and they live for that type of stuff. But for me, you know, I enjoy the multiplayer aspect of it. Mm-hmm. I'm very, you know, multiplayer competitive-esque, and those are my type of games.
Yeah, that's neat. I'm really glad that you're enjoying it. I wish, like, Smite is actually the first, and I keep coming back to Smite. I keep teasing. I keep sprinkling. We're gonna get to Smite. Don't worry, guys. Right. We'll get to that's Smite. Right. I'm gonna tease it a little bit. Then we're gonna do an ad. Then we'll jump back in. But Smite is probably the first multiplayer game that I've actually thoroughly enjoyed and continue to play.
Awesome.
Halo got close. I was playing a lot of Halo. But I think the reason it got close was because I was playing with friends. Like, I don't play online. I'd have, like, LAN parties, and we'd have, like, 12 people in the house.
Yeah.
Just, like, LAN a couple Xboxes and play Halo 2 until...
That was me in college with the original Halo.
Exactly. Yeah, like, Halo, Smash Brothers. Oh, man. Good times. I can't wait until Smash Brothers comes out on the Wii U, and I'm just going to be like... I don't care. I'm bringing my Smash friends here. Like, I own a Wii U. I will buy extra controllers. You're going to hold this wonky Nintendo Pro controller. I know it's not an Xbox controller. You'll survive. And we're going to play. And there's no weird tripping. You know, there's just awesome characters, HD visuals. We're going to have some pizza. It's going to be fantastic. And I have been playing Smash Brothers on the 3DS. I just sort of picked it up.
I was going to ask that because of our conversation, because I've been watching a lot of Twitch today. Mm. I have that ability to at work. And so I have Twitch on a third monitor. And I threw up some of it being played on the 3DS. And it looked like a lot of fun. It's not something I would buy. You know, it's not my thing.
Yeah, but no, I know fine. A lot
of... But it's, I found myself watching more and more, actually, of Smash Brawl, you know, recently, like, being streamed in tournaments and stuff like that. Mortality Esports, the organization I'm a part of, they actually have a few Smash competitive players that are, like, very, like, top-level players. So I found myself watching more and more of it. And I do enjoy watching it, because I can connect and I know the characters and stuff like that. But it's not really something that I can say I enjoy playing. I mean, I played it back... Last time I played Smash, to be honest with you, was back on N64.
Oh, wow.
And my character was Link at all times.
Oh, yeah. I'm the same way. I like Link, too. the 3DS version is interesting. It works a lot better than I thought it would. I'm maybe a couple hours in, slowly unlocking characters and stuff like that. There are moments where it's like, this frustration would be non-existent on a HD giant screen with beautiful graphics and a 46-inch TV to deal with, as opposed to the XL that I have, kind of like trying to, I'd lose track of my character occasionally. Like, I'm playing like as the villager and someone's like a red Mega Man and I'm following Mega Man instead of my villager, and my villager's like, dum-da-dum, walking off screen. And there are moments like that, but those moments aside, you're still having that fun. And I always felt with Smash, it's like, no new Smash is gonna change the way you feel about Smash if you didn't like it. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, I wouldn't say to you, like, oh man, the 3DS version gonna change your mind. Like,
it's gonna blow your mind. It's next level.
Okay, Johnny, I will change the calendar. We'll do a quick switch and we'll change the calendar. I'm just gonna read this little sponsor here, but yes, those are my first impressions of Smash. I'll have more next week once I want to unlock some of those secret characters. There are a bunch of characters that that are new to the franchise unlocked from the get-go, but there's over like 35 characters in total, as opposed to the original Smash, which was like 8 with 4 extra unlocked, I think. I'm not sure. But anyways, Jocelyn and I really appreciate your continued support of our show, along with the support of our sponsor. See, again, I don't host enough in a span of weeks that I can actually memorize this stuff. Our sponsor, Doghouse Systems. Use the code THEGAMERSIN to double your RAM when you purchase a new gaming rig. Head on over to doghousesystems.com and get your order on. We've been talking a lot about video games and stuff, and the elephant in the room, Smite, of course. Smite is an interesting game, and it comes up on the show a lot. So what I'm going to do is we're gonna talk about we talk about our impressions as, you know, newbies to the show.
Sure.
But I want to know, like, let's swing it all the way to the other side, to the pro side of it. We have January 2015. We have all I know is that I keep giving Hi-Rez money. and they have a tally that now says almost $1 million.
It's a sad addiction. That's right. Yeah. So I actually pulled off my shelf here. I have my lanyards from the launch tournament.
Nice.
That have Fenrir and Zeus on them, and you can see how much I enjoy Smite. Wow, now I gotta like try to take these things off with a headset. So pro. What a mess.
I'm gonna get you to talk about the tournament, sure. And I'm gonna get Johnny off my back. Okay, Johnny, I'm gonna go change the calendar. I wanna hear about this tournament, but you know, sell the people on this pro scene and let them know, like, you know, how do we get into the pro scene? Like, how do I get interested? Because I'm not a big esports person. I love playing Smite, but I don't know like who plays, who am I watching for? I might actually catch the pro scene with the tournament, but
yeah,
I'm just interested in it.
No, sure, no problem. So you know, those of you guys aren't familiar with Smite. Smite is a MOBA. It is very traditional to like League of Legends and Dota, the two top MOBAs in the world. And you know, the difference between Smite and other MOBAs is the fact that Smite sticks with your three lane tower defense style map and goes ahead and alters that, and you actually are over the shoulder, kind of like what it looks like when you're playing like World of Warcraft or other MMOs, and it's all skill shot based, which is pretty sweet. So that's what defines Smite to be different, is the skill shot, compared to clicking on Ryan, for example, and then hitting my one and it automatically attacks him. It's actually all directional. So you have to actually land everything. And then on top of that is you're not bird's eye view. You're directly behind third person style. So that's Smite, if you guys aren't familiar with Smite. What Ryan's talking about is Smite launched out of beta in March of this past year. And prior to that, it went through a long beta and a long alpha as well. I was part of all of them. I started playing Smite in August 2012. And so jumping ahead, Smite had a launch tournament, a $200,000 launch tournament. And a lot of that, you know, and it was huge prizes there. The big thing, though, is jumping ahead in January is they have the competitive scene right now is pretty cool. There's North America, Europe. You have the Chinese market where Smite has been introduced. And then more recently, Brazil, Latin America. And so you have all these different areas and markets and gameplay going on, and everybody now is qualifying for this like giant world championship that is occurring in January 2015, coming up here. And everyone's qualifying through qualifier tournaments. Everybody's qualifying through LAN events and everything. So it's this long process. So Hi-Rez Studios, who is the publisher of the game, put in $600,000 for the world championship in January. And then this is where Ryan comes in. They have developed this thing called the Odyssey. Mm-hmm. And pretty much the Odyssey is a really cool concept where every week or every 2 weeks they come out with a new in-game skin for these gods. Smite, you play gods. You don't play champions. You don't play heroes. You play gods. And they're all based off of previous, you know, mythology or religions or whatever. So example gods, you have Zeus, you got Thor in there, you got Artemis, you got Vimana in there from Hindu, you know, Isis from Egyptian, Ra from Egyptian, you know, all over the place.
You have people, sorry to interrupt, but you have people, you know, people who work at Hi-Rez.
Correct.
And I know you can take this question. You don't have to, but you need to pass this question along.
What do you got?
Can we get Jesus Christ as a god? I almost said hero. As a god.
Nope.
But the Jesus from that George Carlin movie from Kevin Smith. And his power is just this. Can we get that Jesus? I'm sure they've addressed this, and I should Google it. Hi-Rez
Studios dances around the subject. The problem is with going with gods of modern religions, you get a lot of backlash because of the depiction and the violence that's involved with those gods. So that's a good point. That's why it's easier to go with like Egyptian gods or old Chinese gods, stuff like that. But then, like,
because they're not as uptight, is what you're saying.
Exactly. But Hindu, for example, not too long ago, they were probably a year ago or more, they released Vimana, who's a Hindu god, and they actually got some backlash from it. They released a god Kali, who's a Hindu god, has multiple arms, and in Smite she's very she's a very sexual look to her, big busted, very thin clothing. And they got a lot of backlash from that. So jumping ahead anyways, so they have this thing called the Odyssey. This is very similar to like what you see like Dota 2, the Compendium, but on a very small training wheels level. Like this is brand new to Hi-Rez. So as time goes on, they release these different skins for your god. So one of the skins is it almost looks like coming out of the movie Tron, but it's for the god Mercury. He's got like this black suit on with like neon colors that change. And as he fires across the map, he leaves like that Tron type of trail behind him. Mm-hmm. And so these are microtransactions. As Ryan said, he's giving his money constantly to Hi-Rez, purchasing these different skins. And Smite has skins, they have wards, all this stuff. So they started out at 600. We are on our seventh item in the Odyssey. We still have 21 max to go. So 14 more to go, and we've almost reached $1 million. So there's been almost $400,000 community-fed prize pool for this tournament, which is pretty cool. So people are estimating about $1.5 million by the time we're done that will be for this tournament, which is pretty big for a game that is launched within this year. Meanwhile, the competitive scene you were asking about, right now, if you're familiar with League of Legends or you watch, anything competitive, League of Legends, Dota, like LCS and League of Legends, Hi-Rez Studios has something called the SPL, the Smite Pro League. Mm-hmm. And, going on from there with the Smite Pro League, it is a league where, for example, the team that I'm a team manager of, Mortality Esports, they play multiple times a week, once a night, and it's like round robin style. So there's like, I think there's five or six teams in each league. They play against each other for weeks on end. I think it's 10 weeks total. And at the very end of it, the top four teams will go to a regional event. It is six teams. The top four teams go to a regional event. So it's like qualifying. But this is Smite's big deal. Like, it's a whole league system. There's salaries involved for these players. There's profit involved for these players. So that is the one side of the competitive scene, the high level. You're talking about the best of the best. Mm-hmm. And this is for North America and Europe. China is quite a ways behind. They're doing their own qualifiers. Hi-Rez Studios partnered up some time ago with a company called Tencent, the largest publisher in the world. Mm-hmm. This is the same publisher that League of Legends partnered with when they first launched. And Tencent put $240 million into League of Legends. Hence the giant prize pools that you see being fed from that. This same company partnered with Smite and is managing everything outside of North America and Europe worldwide. So if you want it, you want Smite in Russia and servers in Russia, Tencent's who you have to go through. They've made the connections there. So long story short, Tencent's managing China, and Brazil is being managed by a company called Level Up. So what other questions you got about the competitive scene?
I guess what are like some streamers to watch? Obviously we have you as Octane Pro. He streams Smite. Now, are there, like you mentioned, like, higher level, like, teams going to these finals? Do they stream their practice rounds? Do they stream some stuff? Like,
sure. A lot of these players, they build their own brand. It's a very common thing on Twitch, especially with players or community content providers and stuff like that. You build your own brand. So, you know, jumping back, you know, a year ago or more, we had these players that stream full time to make money. You know, getting several hundred, several thousand viewers, you know, running commercials, having subscribers. So they stream, and then they jump from team from time to time. You know, Smite's at a level now where there's contracts, so you're not seeing team jumping as often. But, you know, there's a lot of competitive players out there. Team Dignitas is a very well-known organization in the competitive scene across all competitive platforms. Mm-hmm. Dota 2, League of Legends, Smite, Counter-Strike, StarCraft 2, whatever. They have a very well-known North American team. Mm-hmm. And the reason is because their players are streaming 10 hours a day, all the time. They have huge personalities. I mean, I've met these guys in person when I went to the launch tournament at some of the LAN events. You know, I talked to these guys online a lot. So they're a very well-known North American team. So, like, if you're looking for, you know, someone to watch, if you're getting into Smite and you want to get into jungling, there's a streamer called Lassiz, Lassiz. He is one of the top North American junglers out there. And these people are amazing. Like, they put me, you, and everyone else to shame because of how good they are.
What's a jungler, just so we know?
Sure, no problem. So, as I said, Smite is a MOBA, has three lanes, middle, mm-hmm. left, and right. And you have a person that rotates between those lanes constantly, looking for an opportunity to jump on top of your opponent when they don't see them and kill them. And that is called a jungler. It is somebody that rotates between the lanes, going ahead and getting the ganks off as necessary. So very well known. Another very well known North American player is Zatman. He is one of some may argue the best. Some may argue another player on Cognitive Gaming is the best, Barracuda. But a very well known, not only person but personality. So that's the North American scene. And then over in Europe, it's a toss up right now. Europe right now is a scene where the top four teams rotate being the top team. Mm-hmm. Weekly because of like how close it is. So I can't necessarily give any individual people that I would say. One of my favorites to watch is actually a Mortality Esports player, Sayo, one of the best European, if not in the world, solo laners. His name is Sayo, so a lot of fun. That's the competitive side. Meanwhile, at the same time running this whole pro league going on, there's this thing called the Challengers Cup, which is a weekly tournament that goes multiple weeks. Each week you get points depending on how you place. And that is for the nobodies, per se. And that's not to insult anybody. These are for the people that aren't on pro organization teams that want to qualify for this world championship million-plus event. So they start out even lower than the pros. Mm-hmm. Because they haven't qualified, and they work through 10 weeks of qualifiers, getting points in North America and Europe, and then they will go at the top two from those events, from this, you know, 10-week Challengers Cup, will go against the bottom two from the Pro League, which is like a wild card type of style.
Interesting.
So, yeah, so it's a lot of this drops into this, and this qualifies into this, and stuff like that. Yeah. So the pro scene is pretty crazy right now.
Yeah, interesting. Well, you know, it's funny, like, I think a lot of people like me who play these games, you know, get in and have fun. And then I'm not a big, like, Twitch watcher, live player. I watch the Giant Bomb Quick Looks, but that's about as high level as I get for watching people play video games. So it's really cool to kind of get a bird's eye view of, like, what do I watch? I know Jocelyn is big on the Twitches and the Let's Plays, mm-hmm. and you know, obviously with Hearthstone and back in the day with StarCraft. So it's really cool to see that, and it would be interesting to see what it's actually like to play that weird chick with the tentacle dog legs.
You're talking about Scylla.
Yeah, because I was playing that last night, and I got a couple good licks in. I think we were playing with Josh Cook, who couldn't join us tonight in the chat, but he had Ares, and he's really good at just bringing everybody in. Or maybe it was Hades. Anyways, it was one of those like bring in moves, and he'd just be like, okay, hit him now. And it's just like, boom, four kills. It was amazing. Yep. So yeah, like, it's really cool when you coordinate that teamwork.
Yep. I mean, Smite is a lot of fun. What attracted me to Smite originally was, as I said, talking about playing PvP, Wrath of the Lich King, and then also a little bit of Cataclysm PvP in Smite or in World of Warcraft, was as that ended, I had a big itch for PvP. And if you are a PvP nut in MOBAs, try Smite and you'll be hooked instantly. You know, the controls are the same, the views are the same. So it synergizes over from one game to the other, and that's what kind of sucked me into Smite, was PvP and similar to a MOBA without the grinding of raiding, and there's no gear
and auto leveling and auto buying.
Let me correct that. There is no gear individualized. For example, I've been playing the game for 2 years, Ryan's been playing the game for a few months maybe, but when we first get into the game and we join into a game together, we start out at the exact same level. So it comes down to skill. Now, granted, when you're playing the game, you level your abilities. You know, hey, I want to take the first ability, but then maybe the third ability, then maybe the second ability. So you get to choose that. Or you can go ahead, and then you also have items that you buy in your individual game as you progress to make your, you know, as you kill minions. There's like the NPCs, or kill other gods, or take down towers, or kill buff camps and stuff. You get gold, and then you can buy items to make your person stronger or more unique. But once that game ends, you're right back to being on the same even skill level. Now, what Ryan's talking about is something that is very attractive to newer players of Smite, is you can join the game of Smite, play with me or play with Ryan, and when you first join in, it will auto-level your abilities and auto-level your items, so the only thing you're focused on is the actual gameplay. Learning the controls and learning the gameplay. And then when you feel comfortable, you can dabble into leveling your person a little bit different in their abilities by taking that off, or dabble into purchasing your items a little bit different as you get comfortable with that. Because believe it or not, your item purchases will make or break the success of your god in Smite.
Yeah, and I totally get that. You know, we have some people in the chat room, like we've obviously converted a lot of people to Smite, and it's really that easy. You just kind of, you download it, you get in, it's free to play. Yep. The God Pack is an immense deal. $30. You're getting a new hero, what feels like at least once a month.
At the very least. They came out with this pretty early on. Hi-Rez said, okay, for $29.99, we will give you every god that's come out so far and every god coming out in the future. And right before they launched the game in March, there was this big controversy about, are they still going to offer this, and is it going to stay the same price? And jumping ahead, you know, that was back in March. They decided, we're going to keep this going. So, like, I bought my god pack back in 2012, and I've received every god that has come out since. And that's their plan moving forward. So for $30, you know, Ryan can get every god that comes out. And you might ask, well, how is Hi-Rez making their money? They have in-game skins. Like, these skins, there are so many skins.
And the skins are a lot of fun. Fantastic.
They are. They're so much. They're not just like a Reese color. Like, the skins are very in-depth, very different. And then on top of the skins, you have wards, which are give you vision that you can purchase on the map for a period of time. You have voice packs. You have, they're starting to get into emotes, so like dances and stuff like that, waves and stuff you can buy. So very much, Smite is not, and let me emphasize, Smite is not a pay-to-win game.
No.
Because when we both get into, if you're a brand new player and you and I join the same game, you and I have the same amount of chance to win or lose that game. Doesn't matter about gear. There's no runes or anything like that. So I've been playing the game for 2 years. It doesn't matter. Ryan and I are on the exact same level when we join that game.
Yeah, and it feels very balanced. You know, we obviously dig it because it's got a wide range of tools to help you get into it. And you know, we joke around. We are still on auto buy, auto level, but you know, we're slowly working our way out. We got our salvation. We know what beads do. So we're getting there. And this time next year, we might be laughing at former Ryan and Jocelyn who auto leveled. What were we thinking, noobs? The skins are great. Like Johnny in the chat room was mentioning Father Christmas skin, and I'm pretty sure there is like a Santa Claus skin. Correct. They do holiday skins.
Correct. They do holiday skins a lot, very much similar to other games out there that do microtransactions. For example, they have like a Jack the Ripper type of Thanatos, which is a god that has like wings and a giant sickle. So he has like a pumpkin head type of deal. I was actually playing that last night. They also have like a Christmas Hell and a Christmas Bacchus that they do have in the game. And then on top of that, they have like a Feaster Bunny Bacchusura as well that looks, you know, almost like an Easter Bunny, but like an evil Easter Bunny type of deal. So they very much stick with some of those. But they have some other cool stuff too. Like they have a Raw America skin, which is pretty cool. You know, very American flag, patriotic style. But then you jump to like the other side and they have all different other types. Like they have like pirate skins for different gods. So it very much varies. You know, it's all over the place. Very sci-fi looking skins. So it's a little bit of everything, to be honest.
It is. Yeah, it's very, it's a good range. And, you know, you're not, you don't, you feel, obviously some people are tempted to buy everything that comes out.
Yep.
But it's very, you know, it's a wide breadth. Like for me, it's like, I latch on to specific heroes, then latch on to specific skins, and then it's like, ooh, you know, when I get this hero, I want to be able to, I want to play this hero more often, so I want to be able to like switch up the look of her or him.
Yep.
And it's a really cool way to do that, and also it's really neat seeing other people, because you see those skins on other people. It's not like some games where that content's locked down and only you see it. Yeah. Everybody sees it, so it's really neat. But yeah, so we're running late, so we're probably gonna stop the Smite talk right there. But we're gonna run into our listener feedback section. But first, if you want to show your TGI pride, head over to slashloot.com. That's slashloot.com to grab yourself a Gamers In T-shirt. They have tons of other awesome shirts, including all your other favorite podcasts, like. All your other favorite podcasts, yes, like Azeroth Roundtable, Torin Think Tank, Zombies Ate My Podcast, and of course, The Angry Chicken. So go to slashloot.com and show off your podcast pride. This show, just like other shows on the A-Move Network, is you know, run by and helped, supported by Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/thegamersin and become a patron just like David Grubbs. Thank you, David, for helping us out. Those funds go towards, you know, the games we play, the streaming we do, a new project, which you guys will see this month, a website. We have a new website coming in time for Extra Life. But yeah, if you're interested in supporting the show, you know, via Patreon, go to patreon.com/thegamersin. Yeah, but yeah, before we go, Octane, or Patrick, sorry, I keep calling you Octane. We're friends now.
Either one works.
I can call you Patrick. I can call you Sir Jester. We'll,
that's right.
Whichever you prefer. But yes.
I like it.
Why don't you tell the fine listeners once again where they can find you, Twitter, YouTube, Twitch. What's your Twitch stream schedule? Do you have a schedule?
Sure. Right now, my schedule on Twitch is pretty consistent, where during the week, Monday through Thursday, I stream around 9 p.m. Eastern. I actually have the stream on simultaneously right now. So, you know, I try to stream right around, you know, 9:30 p.m. After, you know, I put my son to bed, my wife has to bed, I stream for a few hours. And then on the weekends, it varies. Mm-hmm. But my biggest consistency, I can say, is... I stream for Hi-Rez Studios on their Twitch channel every Sunday starting at 5 p.m. for a five-hour gap. So I'll put that link in chat. It's twitch.tv/SmiteGame, and I host two Smite podcasts on there, back-to-back, filling 5 hours. Wow. The first one is called The Smite Update. It covers community updates and content that has come out. Then we do an esports update, going over what has happened in that week within esports. And then finally, we go over the latest patch, breaking it down, talking about it, stuff like that. So that's called The Smite Update. It's a podcast out there, video and audio version across all platforms. And then the second one starts at 8 p.m. Eastern on Smite Game, twitch.tv/SmiteGame. That's called Smite Talk. And it's a simple radio show style. Me and another gentleman, FG3000, he is a YouTube creator, We just hang out and we take calls from people from all over the world asking questions about Smite or bringing up subjects like, hey, what was your thoughts on this build the other day? Or why do you like this skin? Or do you think this is a good idea? And we just hang out for like 2 hours, take calls from people all over the world, and just talk about Smite. So that's pretty much where you'll find my largest content. I will put my Twitch in chat. My Twitch channel in chat, and then same thing with my YouTube. Everything is youtube.com/OctanePro, SCII, and you'll find that on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. OctanePro, SCII.
I did not know that you streamed for high res. That's really awesome. I've seen the Smite update posts and the Smite Talk posts and the way you go over the patches. Like, man, you must have content every week the way this company patches that game. They are constantly putting out new stuff.
It's ridiculous, to be honest.
So you guys should definitely check that out. And speaking of Smite shenanigans, as Explode says in the chat room, I almost forgot. I did not add this in the notes. But October, you know, September was wedding month, but October is Extra Life month. We have Extra Life in 3 weeks. And Smite is actually playing a big part. Usually the stream will run 24 hours, but there is a primetime schedule from 10 a.m. to around 2 a.m. But the after dark stuff is when the real fun begins, because 2 a.m. until everybody's downtime will be the Smite drinking game. And we are taking rules from people. I think Pat is actually going to send... I keep calling you something. We just get more casual as this show goes on. I'm just going to call it Patrick. Patrick is going to send us some rules, and we're going to play Smite from 2 until we end this bad boy stream, Extra Life. And it's all in the name of charity for sick kids, children's Miracle Network hospitals. By the time October 25th rolls around, I'm going to have this pitch down pat. But it's extra-life.org/team/TGI. All your favorite people are on the team. And if you don't see them, we are still adding people. They are there. But we're going to be streaming on October 25th for 24 hours in support of charity. And we'll have more details soon. It's pretty scarce right now. That's the only thing we have is our profile, our team up on the Extra Life page. But we are taking donations, and just like last year, it was a super fun time, and we're looking forward to making it even better. Last year we raised like over $4,000.
Wow, good for you guys. Yeah, that's awesome.
We doubled our goal, so we set our goal to 4,000, but we're hoping to smash that record this year. Maybe I don't want to jinx it, but maybe we could even make like 10,000. In the name of charity.
Whoa, there you go. Good for you.
Let's do it. I'm not setting the bar, but, you know, I'm just throwing it out there. All of you listeners make it possible. And like I said, it all goes to charity. So, and it's all tax deductible. So it's win-win for you and for the kids and for us, because we all have fun doing it and people get healed. So yes, that is a show. Whew. It's a long one, but you know what? It's Friday. We need to relax, talk about some video games.
That's right.
I want to thank you for coming on the show, talking about Smite, filling us in on the Arma and all that fun business. Sure. We'll have you on again for sure. It's been a great night. But I'm going to let everyone know where they can find us. You can visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on amove.tv, along with other fabulous podcasts, including Into the Nexus, Campaign Roundtable, The Angry Chicken, and A-Move Radio. Follow us on Twitter. You can find Jocelyn at GIS Gamer. You can find Patrick at OctanePro SCII. And you can find Ryan, myself, at R. Murphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/Jocelyn Moffitt. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. Also, be sure to email the show, info@gamersinpodcast.com. We love reading your emails. We reply to all of them, and we even read some on the show. And I'm noticing in the chat room that Jocelyn is just arrived in the chat.
Don't acknowledge that, slacker.
I gotta acknowledge it. Come on
now.
she says she just finished. The move is done, and I think she's ready to play video games. So
yeah,
we might have to abide. I am Yeah, she was not slacking. She was going hardcore, moving her apartment all by herself. Commendable. Commendable effort. Yep. So we are going to go play some video games. You people are going to watch us because we might stream. We might not, but I... Sorry, you people. But yes, thank you, Patrick, for joining us. And no problem. You know what? We'll see everybody in the near future. Thank you, guys.
Take care.